It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 418. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. This show is brought to you in part by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free at www.instanthousecall.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow. Best way to call me and contact me, my email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. Send me questions or any feedback or comments to the show, things you'd like me to discuss. You can leave me a voicemail message, and I got one that I'll get to in a few minutes. The voicemail phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter. Twitter.com/MikeTechShow. You can send me a friend request and follow me on Facebook. That's Facebook.com/MikeTechShow. Also, check out the wiki for all of the archives. So you can go back to all the way to show one and get the links and the audio file for that show. And that is at MTSWiki.com. Have a great show lined up. And I want to talk about a few things that have happened, some lessons learned. Got a couple emails with some great questions and some great feedback. Before we get started, it's summertime, and your team will probably be working from different locations. But just because you're away from the office doesn't mean that business stops. So that's why I recommend GoToMeeting. You can meet online with clients and colleagues from anywhere. And HD Faces allows you to collaborate on files and plans online, and you use just a webcam to turn your online meetings into a group HD video conference. You can participate in an HD Faces meeting from your iPad. Work smarter this summer with GoToMeeting with HD Faces. And my listeners can try it free for 30 days. Don't wait for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. So make sure to use the promo code PODCAST. I have some lessons learned in Audacity that I need to share with you, because I know some of you are podcasters, and maybe you're recording something that you need to save it, and you need it at a certain bit rate, you need it at a certain quality. Well, you know I incorporate voicemails all the time in my show. So last night, actually before I was recording Tech Vets with Carrie Holzman, I took a voicemail from Google Voice, downloaded it, and it was an MP3. So I open up Audacity, and I always have to edit the voicemails. I like to listen to it and maybe bump up the gain or compress or normalize it. I make a couple edits. I do the best I can, so the audio quality of the voicemail, I do what I can. This voicemail sounded great. Everything was good, but it was all mono, which is what Google Voice does. So when I take the MP3 and just drop it into Audacity, it changes the settings. I make my edits. I save it. Everything's great. I save it. I convert it to an MP3. I email it, and I email it to Carrie. Everything's fine. So now, I don't know why, but I delete the file, but I don't close Audacity. I leave it open. I now open up Skype, and Carrie connects, and we start recording, and I see the wave file that's being generated, the voice wave. So when I talk, you can easily see how the wave file, you know, is developing, and I can look for the highs and the lows, and I know that it looks pretty good. But the settings that I normally record at are stereo, 44,100 hertz at 32-bit float. What I did not look at was the section that tells you what hertz, and there was some ridiculous hertz that I could not believe was there, and I didn't notice it until the show was done. And when the show was finished and I had it saved, I always listen to the beginning just to see how it, you know, it sounds. It sounded horrible. It sounded horrible. I looked at it and I was like, oh no, what do I do? It was done. There was nothing I could do. The lesson is, whatever you're doing in Audacity, if it's not your normal function that you normally do, if you're editing something else or doing voicemails or doing whatever, and you're now going to go do something else, close Audacity completely. Open it up. It only takes a couple seconds, and now you'll be reset to your defaults, because that's what I did after the show last night. After everything was saved, I closed Audacity. I opened it up. I recorded a few seconds. I played it back, and it sounded great. But now my voice is all muffled. So had a lot of help in the chat room last night. And here's what happened. I was able to use an effect that I have never used before. And it was the high pass filter. And I highlighted everything from the entire show. I ran the high pass filter. I did that at different settings. There was 1,000. Then we tried 500. Then I tried 250. At 250, it sounded better. So that's how I saved everything. So then when I converted it to an MP3 and I uploaded it, I was notified when I went to post it as a podcast. I was warned by the plugin that I have, which is PowerPress plugin for WordPress. And when I tried to post it, it allowed me to activate the post with the embedded audio file, but it warned me that it was not at the right bit rate. It was not at the right hertz. It was some weird hertz that may be incompatible with certain MP3 players, or depending on how you listen. So to all of the Tech Vets listeners, if you were on iTunes, it was fine. If you play it from the website, it was fine. But if you have an obscure player or something different, that it may not play perfectly. And I tried to correct it. And everything I tried to get it at the right bit rate and the right hertz, I was unsuccessful. So I posted the best audio that I could without re-recording the show. And I just didn't have the time last night to re-record. But just some lessons here that I took for granted. I shouldn't have left it open. And now I know I got to restart Audacity. And tonight, I have a voicemail. I recorded it, saved it. Everything was great. I then shut down Audacity, started it back up before I started recording tonight. So shouldn't have this problem. Next, I get a call yesterday from a client that was at home and wanted to add a second monitor to his system. And he's seen at work, we ordered new computers, but I ordered them. I already knew that they wanted dual monitors, so the Dell systems that I put in there automatically had the dual adapters. So I put the dual, you know, that was real easy. Well, at home, he has a single DVI port, and he's looking for an adapter to split it. You can't do that. You can't, okay, you can, but you can't properly split and make a dual monitor by just buying an adapter unless the video card can support it. Now, Dell and other Even ATI has cards that you can buy, and it has a dual cable coming out, but it is built that's just not an adapter cable. That video card can support two independent monitors, and it will work. So you just can't buy a splitter. And so I guess that's the main point here. And once I had that discussion with him, I said, I don't know your video card. So he took a picture and messaged it to me. And that's what's so great about having a smartphone. And you know, he took the picture right away. He's doing this and we're still talking to each other. So there's an AT&T commercial for you. So he sends me the picture and I'm looking at the video card and I noticed there's an HDMI adapter there. So I said, there's a good chance that it will support a second monitor. It looked like it was already a dual video card, HDMI and DVI. I said, what you need now is a DVI cable to HDMI. So I go on to Amazon. I tell them, of course, use everybody my Amazon link, which is amazon.mikenation.net. or miketechshow.com/Amazon. And I want to thank everybody for another great month, last month for July. And please continue to support in the show by using my link. And I had him use my link, go get the adapter. It was, you know, like $8. And he was, you know, he's going to be happy. Little stories that I want to pass on. Now, here's a bigger one. My client wants to change to Google Apps for email. Great. No problem. They got like 5 email accounts for 5 users. Perfect. Let's do it. So they're on GoBlat. Yes, GoBlat for email. And I go in there, and that's not where the domain is registered. So I cannot make any DNS settings because changes. Because in order to properly implement Google Apps, Google wants you to prove that you truly own the domain. So they have multiple methods for you to do that. You can FTP a file to the root of your website. You can add a text record, an A record, and they give you this unique code that you put there for the text record, and then you can then go back to Google and verify it. So they have lots of ways for you to try. But you got to have access to the DNS or something. And I'm looking at this, and I can change the MX records, but I can't change anything else. It appears that they only have email hosting with this company. So now, upon further research, I see they bought the domain from Network Solutions. They have to get their Network Solutions password. They sent it to me today. I log in. Well, the DNS is with DNS Junction, and it's not with, the name servers are not with Network Solutions, so I cannot make a change to the DNS. I don't know where it is. I sent my client back an email. We're going to have to talk further tomorrow morning. Who's got ownership of the DNS? Where is it happening? And I need access that to make the proper changes for them. This is the DNS hell that I go through sometimes, where I had a client that bought third-party hosting with where they didn't own the hosting and had it with something else. And, you know, you got to make a DNS change, but you need 3 days notice to be able to make the change. It is horrible. It's people that don't know what they're doing, getting in over their heads, selling services and doing things where it gets so complicated, and it could be so much easier if you buy the domain from a true registrar like a GoDaddy. Now, remember, I'm not saying to use GoDaddy for hosting, but for buying a domain, you do have full control of your domain. You have control of your MX records. You have control of your name servers. You have control of all the DNS entries that are so important to you when you buy a domain. You can always get hosting or something else, but never give up the ability to control your own DNS. And that this is what's happened with some clients. So now we got to make a change. And I got to sift through the mess and figure out where this is all coming from. And right now, I'm in the middle of this, and I have no idea where the DNS junction's coming from. Oh, I got the name servers. They're DNS junction. They bought it from Network Solutions, but they also have this GoBlat for email that also is not controlling the DNS. I really think it's the emails. I think it's GoBlat, and I'm going to be calling their tech support tomorrow to find out who's in control of the DNS. Where is it coming from in terms of I need a login for this? I have a feeling it's the email hosting provider that's going to be holding them hostage. It kind of brings up the bad memories of when I was hosting the Mike Tech Show with Brinkster. To get control of my domain was a nightmare. And to be able to make changes like this, you couldn't do it. That's what's conjuring up here. And yes, Podnuts Pro in the chat, a lot of companies don't give up control. I guess you're right. A lot of the typical customer that's going to be having this, if they go in there, they could really mess things up. I guess I understand that, but I want to have control. When you go in to support that customer that needs some of these features, let's see what happens, and I'll follow up with everybody on that story. And I'm supposed to cut over their email tomorrow afternoon, and that may not happen. Let's give a listen to this voicemail, a real good iPhone question.
Hi, Mike. This is Denny down in Baltimore, the home of our Olympian Michael Phelps. Got a question for you, since you are the iOS guru or our Mike Tech Show genius. I have a question on the to-do list. You know, we have an iPad, we have the Mac Pro, and then we have the iPhone. If I add another iPhone, can I sync the to-do list to two iPhones? That's right, two iPhones. Can the to-do list be synced to both of them, plus the iPad and the Mac? Thanks a lot.
Yes, but you have to turn on automatic downloads on all devices. And I will have a link for you on how to configure that for each of your devices. So, yes, you can have multiple iPhones and have everything completely syncing. So, great question. Thank you for that. Let's get to some email here. This is a story that I have to read. And this is from Roger, and it's a Verizon wireless scam. Mike, I have been a listener to your show since the beginning, and I've enjoyed every show. I have always wondered how people could be sucked into scams until it happened to me this week. You see, I had just been to the Verizon Wireless store to make a purchase and to change my data plan. I received a call the next day. This is a Verizon Wireless calling with a survey. Answer these few questions about our services and we will credit your account $45 or 115 free minutes. Well, I was driving home and had a very productive day and was feeling good, so I answered the question. It sounded legit. They asked me, for security purposes, can I have your billing password? Well, I'm going to stop right there. That should be where the alarm goes off. Never give passwords over the phone to anyone. There's never a reason for them to ask for a password. And he has in caps, I gave it to them. Thinking it was legit, the man asking the questions was very professional, and the questions were, how was customer service? Do you have any problems with your texting plan? Has a text message never gone through? 2 days later, my wife could not get her voicemail. I tried as well and got a message like, please enter the number you are calling about. I entered the number, and the next menu option was press 1 for disconnect, 2 for something else, etc. I then tried to make a phone call to the phone and got a message. The phone number you are calling about has been disconnected, changed, or no longer in service. What? I called the Verizon customer service. They told me that my account has been disabled due to suspicious activity. I asked, When was this activity? She said, today. Both my wife and I had not used our cell phones that day. The agent was pleasant enough, but could not help us because when she asked us for our password, she said, no, that is not it. Huh? What? I found out later that the scam artist has changed my password. She said I had to take the phones to the local Verizon store to get them reactivated. The man at the store reactivated my phones and looked up the info on the account. The Verizon fraud department is investigating the case. Someone in Cuba has been using my minutes, 640 minutes that day. The man said that they had cloned the phone. I asked how could they do that since my phone serial number is connected to the account and another phone serial number would be different. Apparently, they can spoof all the phone's info to make it look like it is coming from my phone. I am currently sharing my minutes with whoever bought the clone of my phone. The case is still under investigation. I might have to either get two new phones or change my phone numbers. What a headache. Please share this with your listeners so no one else gets scammed like I did. If anyone calls you asking for a password, do not give it out, even if it sounds legit. Roger, I'm so sorry that that happened to you, and I'm glad you shared that, and I hope everybody listening to this can hear just how the social engineering is getting so good for the scams. And I do know one company that asks for the PIN number, and that's GoDaddy. GoDaddy, when you have a password, you enter that, but you also have to pick a PIN. And the reason they do that is because they don't need your password. So they have a second number, which is that PIN number, that but usually you're calling them. So it'd be like if I'm calling AT&T or I'm calling Verizon, that's very different. I'm in control of the phone number that I'm calling. If someone calls you, especially from a bank, and this happens with a lot of fraud, they'll call, I'm from Bank of America. You know, you're having a problem with your password. They could easily spoof the caller ID. Say, no, I will call you back. And then you give the information. Again, thanks for sharing that story, Roger. Boy, I hope everything works out for you and you don't have a problem. Business advice. Hi, Mike. Love the show. I am a residential tech, but wanted to get some advice on migrating over to being a commercial tech. I have no certs, but don't mind studying to get up to speed. What area would you advise me to start studying first? Two things here. You can start going after commercial business, but if you are only used to residential and you're used to workstations, then you want to go to companies that only have workstations. What if they have a server? So that's a piece that's absolutely, I think, missing from your repertoire that you should start studying up and learning about servers. Because what if you run into a server? Now, most businesses now, well, I shouldn't say that, most businesses. There are many, many businesses that have NAS devices that are easy to work with. That's network attached storage. Or they're using a workstation as a peer server. So that means you're only dealing with a regular Windows 7 or Windows XP operating system. You're not dealing with the server-based operating system. You need to really brush up on your networking skills because any business is going to have a network. It's not going to be complicated, but you need to know about switches, about the programming of switches, where if they have VLANs, which could be virtual LANs, it can get pretty complicated. So I would concentrate on learning about basic networking, better firewalls, getting a certification in Cisco might be too difficult or too lengthy or costly. But you need to be aware of some of the smaller firewalls that I manage, like SonicWall And a lot of them are GUI-based, but you need to have a fundamental understanding of firewall rules, of port forwarding. And there's so many different areas there that I've just covered. I would become an expert, keep enhancing your skills with the workstations, because the better that you are at the workstations and you go into a company and you prove it with a small business, it's going to work out really good for you and they're going to want to retain your services. Knowing backups and getting experience with backup software, great example like Shadow Protect. You can buy the $90 version for the workstation. Guess what? It's the same software for the server. It's just that they charge $1,000 for the server. Now, you can't use the workstation software on the server, but it's the same functionality. Getting good at a reliable backup software that you can really use to guarantee that backups are happening on an external drive, have a proven system that you can go in and rip out any backups that are currently going on and put in something that you know cold. You've done it. You've worked with it. You've restored from it. You've played with it. Get experience with a good backup software that you can go in and be able to say, this is what you need to be able to back up, because I bet you they're having problems or they're not reliable or they haven't tested doing a restore. And this is how I've made great inroads to companies that have backup problems, where I've turned them into a retainer client. I was introduced to them or referred to them because of the problems they had, or I was there for something else and I said, what are you doing about backups? And I asked the question, well, what happens when that hard drive crashes and it's gone forever? Is that okay? So you got to pose the question to get them to think about, oh my, no, that's not okay. And I'm not doing anything for backup. And then you start to say, well, there's two things you can do for backup. You can back up locally to an external drive, or make sure for disaster recovery purposes, also back up to the cloud using a service like Jungle Disk, Mozy Pro. There are lots of solutions out there. You need to get familiar with them. This is what is going to make you valuable, and you need to, and they can tell when you're talking to a business. You got to start out small. You got to get a couple small businesses. Maybe home businesses is great. I have lots of clients that they run their business out of their home, and I have some that have servers, and they're great customers to have. I definitely talked about a lot of things here, Kevin, and hopefully something will hit with you and you'll be able to take off with it. Concentrate on the serving of data and the backups. And I think that's going to get you that edge into where you want to turn from the residential to the corporate, not so much corporate, but the business client, because it's the business client that's going to pay a retainer. And you got to have that regular income in order to make a living at this. If I was just doing break, fix, and repair, I'm telling you, I would not be in business for myself. I would be working full-time in the corporate world. The only way for me to make a living was to be able to turn my business into getting regular revenue with retainers. It's the only way to make it. And let me tell you, I struggled, and you've heard it maybe on Tech Vets, where I've talked about, I got my ups and downs, you know, of business and losing retainers because of a merger or, you know, nothing that I've done. It just happens. And you got to be able to have another one to take their place. And if you don't, then I got to make that up with what I call the walk-up traffic or the break-fix traffic. And if that's not happening, well, it gets pretty tough. So I've had my ups and downs. There's good months, bad months. And right now we're hoping, we're seeing a little uptick here as we come off the summer. So I'm hoping that things get a little better. Here's a question that I just don't have an answer. And it's Brian. And he wants to know, can I weigh in about what I think about Surface and the Surface Pro tablet, and which you would choose. Thanks for the show, Mike. All the best. This is Brian in Maryland. Brian, I do not have an opinion because I have not played at all with any of the Surface devices or Surface Pro tablets. If any of you have some experience with any of those devices, great way to contribute to the show and help me out. Record something. Or if you don't feel comfortable recording, go ahead, write me that lengthy email. That's okay. Give me the pros and cons, the model of what you have been using, and that would be awesome to share that with me. If you get some experience with this, or you've reviewed them, or you've done some work with them, it'd be great to get that onto the show and share that with everybody, and that would definitely help Brian. I want to thank you for that, Brian. Don't want to forget, and I'm putting this at every show because it expires on August 31st, the Fabs Auto Backup for Tech. Great, great, great product. You've heard me talk about it. I can't live without it. It is the ultimate tool for transferring all the settings and data from one system to another, from one operating system to another, to back up all those things. It's an enormous task, and this automates it. And you can get 40% off, but you got to use the code, and I'll have it in the show notes. It's GDRWKK. Use that code, 40% off. It's awesome. You just go do it for that price. I do have some music. The song I'm going to play, I haven't played Liz Longley in a while, so I didn't have anything for tonight, so I figured, oh, let me dig up some Liz Longley. And I played this a while ago, I think. And this is from her CD, Somewhere in the Middle. It's called Rush. Give a listen, and then I'll be back to wrap up.
Don't stop. I like where this is going. You've got a way of coming over me like rain in June. Tongue-tied, your body warm to the touch, and you're terrified. Well, that makes two of us now. Just the two of us now. Have you ever felt so alive as I feel with you tonight? So deep in your arms. And have you ever had a love so real that through your veins you could almost feel a rush of blood to your heart. With one kiss, you cover every inch of my skin in pure bliss, and all the sound of you aching for more. Steady as you unfold me and unleash a desire that will never die. Have you ever felt so alive as I feel with you tonight? So deep in your arms. And have you ever had a love so real that through your veins you could almost feel a rush of blood to your heart, to your heart. The bare moon shining through the window, our shadows dancing on the wall, the pulse racing like the thunder as we surrender to deep in your arms? And have you ever had a love so real that through your veins you could almost feel a rush of blood to your heart? To your heart. Oh, rush of blood to your heart.
That was Liz Longley and the song Rush, and I will have a link to her website where you can buy all of her music. Just great voice, and she is a from the local area here, from Philadelphia, so always glad to support local artists. I want to thank everybody for downloading and subscribing to the show. You can always send me an email, Mike Tech Show, MikeTechShow, @gmail.com. You can leave me voicemail message, 240-949-2450. Don't forget to support the sponsors, my Amazon link, instanthousecall.com, and gotomeeting.com. And don't forget Fab's Auto Backup for Tech and that great discount that expires at the end of the month. That's it for tonight's show, and I will see everybody next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everyone.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.